Yeah. All right.
I think we're live here, so we are. Let's see. Guest overlay. Welcome to Horror Makes Us Happy live chat number 31 with Mr. Tim Wagner, author of a goddamn million things.
Just a few.
Yeah. Let's see. We interviewed you back in June of 2023. So it's been about 6 years. No, 3 years. Sorry. Thinking 26th. So it's been about 3 years.
Yeah.
What you been up to?
Seems like it.
Wrote another million things.
I don't know. I've been writing and teaching.
That's good.
Playing with dolphins. That's about it.
Did you just say playing with dolphins?
Dachshunds.
Dachshunds. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Dolphins would be cool.
I knew about.
Dachshunds are actually the dolphins that land.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Like
how they?
The dachshunds.
Yes. How they move. I knew about the dogs, but the dolphins threw me further. I was like, I haven't heard anything about that. Well, let's see. When we interviewed you back in 23, the summary of the interview that we kind of came up to is there was some exploration of familial isolation and exploring the unknown. I guess the only real question that I would have asked would have been, do you think that's come up in your work since then or in any of the media that you've enjoyed since then?
Wow, that's a really good question. Yeah, I think so. You know, since the last time we talked, encountered the concept of the emotionally neglected adult child, mm-hmm. or just adult. And it's the idea that, you know, your parents just did not see to your emotional needs for whatever reasons. And, you know, the more I read about them, I was like, you know, oh, my God, that's me. And so I sort of have focused on that a little bit more in some of my work, just to explore that, you know, see what comes out of me.
One of the things that I learned through my counseling journey and 12-step stuff is the analogy I like to use is the blanket is never big enough. And what I'm referring to here is I remember being a kid and you know how some kids have their favorite blanket and then at a certain point you outgrow the blanket and then you have to make a choice. Do I cover my head or do I cover my feet? But it's not,
that kind of, you mean physically outgrow the blanket?
I'm yes.
Like metaphorically.
Well, no, both. I mean, what I was getting at here is like, he's talking about, kids not having all of their needs met by their parents, but that's actually a pretty big topic because, you know, it's not just one need, you know, there are multiple things that kids need and maybe you've got a family who gets 99% over here, but you've had a different family that gets a different 99%, you know? Mm-hmm. And so who's missing what can be different for every person. But that's what I mean about the blanket, you know, Where's the blanket? Is it moving? Shifting this way? Is it shifting this way? What got covered? Okay. What didn't get covered?
You know, that's a really great thing for writers to think about. Is like for their characters, it's like who's missing what? Because it, you know, everybody's missing something, and it would really make you look at your characters in a lot, you know, a very different way. It might make you come up with some really good stories.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. Like I usually just try to create and develop characters that are different, like, you know, you have your team in the story, so to speak, but I suppose it's just kind of almost automatically do it by trying to make them different, like this character's strong suits is this and this one's this, but you do kind of have to almost look at it like a series of gauges, like this one's strengths are this but their weaknesses are this and vice versa for each other characters.
Right. I mean, it's still kind of the same way, because if you think about what your character is missing, you could see that either, well, depending on how it plays out, you can see it as either a strength or what your weakness, depending on what situation you're in.
Depending on the situation.
Yeah. So what, like, you know, if Shaggy and Scooby-Doo were really in danger, the fact that they want to run when everybody else doesn't, that would be a great strength for them.
I think that is a strength. You know, some people would call that a weakness, but I think that is a strength, especially if they just run from the entire situation in the first place and don't go investigate it.
That's right.
I always never really understood why they kept hanging out with the other three.
Yeah, I think it's the Scooby snacks.
Could be.
You know, and I think they're just people that live in the moment, so it doesn't even occur to them that, hey, last week we were running from a mummy, so right. maybe we should run from the evil clown this week.
And the week before that, and the week before that, the week before that.
Well, you say it that way, you make it sound like Shaggy and Scoob don't have very good short-term memory. That's crazy.
I wonder
they
why.
Do something like they did with, I forget what the movie was, but it was Michael Caine played you know, Sherlock Holmes, except he was an imbecile. It was Dr. Watson that was the genius. And since nobody, he hires like an actor to play Sherlock Holmes. So people who believe the stories. So they should do that where Shaggy and Scooby are the geniuses that are manipulating everything. Velma and Fred and Daphne don't have any idea.
Well, there was a series of animated, like the original one wasn't animated, a series of dark Scooby-Doo animations that yep. were out a while ago, but it was almost like the Garfield I'm Sorry John cartoons, like very yeah. dark and evil and Lovecraftian, and Scooby was in charge of all of it. I don't know if Shaggy had a hand, but Scooby was in charge in a darker way, like much more evil.
Oh, you know what? I think I must have, because I watched a few of those with you, I think, and then we stopped. And I think it was right towards the end is when... Right towards the end of what I watched was when that was starting to come in.
It had like the same energy of the I'm Sorry John panels where like Scooby is like, we've done this thousands of times. Right. I kill you all and then I reanimate you and we do it all over again.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Yeah, I like that idea. Or something less dark. Not quite that evil, but like Scooby and Shaggy are mastermind the whole thing the whole time. That'd be cool. Mm.
It'd be even better if they were masterminding the crimes too, because it's just to fulfill their friend's dreams.
Orchestrating both sides, right?
Yeah. Just you know, their friends
because they're bored.
Right?
Yeah, they want to. Well, because their friends want to solve crime so badly, and there aren't any, so they're like have to kind of make them up or whatever for them.
We'll just have to kill someone.
Twist at the end. Oh my god! Just Scooby Doo style, they pull the mask off and they're like, "You? But why? Well." You guys wanted to solve crimes, and this is actually a really good town. There's nothing going on, so you know, I did it for you. You killed 15 people. I did it for you.
Right.
It's the start of their supervillain. That's their supervillain origin.
Right.
Yes.
They want to get revenge on Shaggy and Scooby then.
Somebody called the Blood and Honey crew. We got a movie for it. Wait, is Scooby do public access yet?
No.
Probably not. No, I don't think so. But that's okay. You could easily like just parody it with by changing the names a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
Cool. Any media you've been enjoying lately?
I've been, for whatever reasons, I've been watching a lot of Chinese kaiju movies. I have no idea why. I noticed that a bunch of them had serpents in them because I was cruising through Tubi and seeing some of these things. And I'm like, why in the hell are they always like giant snakes? So I started watching a bunch of them and I'm like, I got addicted to them for a while. Mm-hmm. They were fun. Okay. Some of them are actually pretty decent. Some are not.
Yeah, it's a wide variety. So like the Godzilla adjacents, like you've got, is it Gamera? Well, Ghidorah is more of a Godzilla villain. Is Gamera a villain or Gamera was like a not a He's villain? Mostly,
yeah, what? He was mostly like a hero for kids after a while. That's why I liked him so much when I was a kid. But I always wondered how he could fly in space, and when like the little you know the fire that comes out of the holes or whatever, why there was smoke lifting up and going straight upward. I was like,
in space,
I don't think that's supposed to happen.
Right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in space. I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Willing suspension of disbelief.
Well, you also can't hear things in space. So
well, that too. That. Yes,
that's true.
Actually, I just thought of something else. I wanted to ask you, how are you? I saw the hat, and I remembered the saw the thing that you posted on social media recently.
Yeah, I can see my braces. I have to wear for another week on both hands.
Okay.
Yeah,
I missed this. What happened?
I fell in a parking lot. You can kind of see the. Let's see. Be over here a little bit, still the bruise left over. It's almost gone.
A little bit, yeah.
But yeah, the last day of last month, I just was I was at Gen Con and I decided to sneak out and go see the Spider-Man movie before I hit any spoilers. And afterwards, because I took an Uber to it, I was like, well, you know, I'd lost my contact case. I bet I could find a drugstore near here or something where I could find one. So I was walking through a parking lot because I was too lazy to go on the sidewalk part. I was just going to go catty corner across it. And it was one of these parking lots that had these little grass medians, you know, in between sections. And one had a little bit of a hill. I just walked up it. I guess my right foot came down in a divot or something because I fell and smashed my face into the asphalt. And got a big cut here, which has been stitched and almost incompetent. Bled like crazy. Got on my other hat. And I was okay. I broke like bones, just light, small ones in here. So it hasn't really done much to me. But it's just I got a, you know, no cast or anything. I just had to wear these things. Yeah. Makes it hard to type.
Yeah.
But I'm doing fine, though.
Good. Oops. Sorry, replying to somebody in chat. Somebody, I guess, has joined who's also a Tim. Or no, I'm sorry. Maybe their first name is different, but they're saying they're a Wagner too. So,
all right, we're everywhere.
Yes. Anything coming up that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to being able to finally say what my secret novelization is. Yeah. It's coming out this fall. It still has not been announced, so. I know they're going to do it. I know when it's coming out, but I'm not going to tell anybody.
Right.
You can tell us. We can be trusted. And we're not losing you.
It's coming out this fall.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those. Sometimes these things are so weird because you'll do them a year in advance. And you just wait. That's what was weird about doing Halloween Kills, because it happened during COVID, so they put the movie back by a year. And it was literally days before they were going to announce the novelization. Ooh. And so it was another year, and it was kind of cool because I was able to like watch everybody theorize what was going to be in the movie. And I just sat back and go, I know what they're doing.
No, you're on. You're close. You're way off.
That's right. And I didn't say anything, of course, because I didn't want anybody to guess. But now I get to do it about this other property. I don't see it as much, but I'm seeing people saying, oh, it's got to be this, and they're doing this. And I've seen this still they released. And so this obviously is this. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's funny that you how can I say this, you said it's coming out this fall. I was going to say, well, it's probably going to be released around October, so that means we've only got about a month to wait for it. And then you cut me off from saying that by saying that this last thing that you worked on, they were like, yeah, they changed it 2 days before they were going to release it.
So this one they will. No, this will be out. It'll be out in October.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and I've been told it's going to go up for pre-order in September. It actually went up for pre-order on Barnes & Noble for about a month, and then it got yanked. I didn't say anything because I didn't think it was supposed to, and I'm pretty sure they jumped the gun, and the studio was like, no, take that off. Nobody seemed to have noticed it, so.
Well, if anybody out there did notice it, they might have just gotten a clue.
Yeah, they might have.
But they didn't get a copy.
No,
they did not. It was one of the most challenging things I've ever done because it was very different than anything else. So it was pretty cool. And it was a lot of fun to do. And I look forward to talking about it.
I want to ask how it was more difficult than anything else you've ever done. Is that something you could answer without giving it away?
No.
All right. We'll just have to have you come back and talk about it later.
Probably not.
Pat, I'm going to try and solve the puzzle. It was the novelization of Grown Ups 2, wasn't it?
Yep. It was the alternate version, the script that they didn't do. So, Grown Ups 2.5.
Kevin James secretly poisoned the entire group with a punch.
That's right. Oh, and I'm also Raw Dog Screaming Press is going to bring out a memoir of this kind of my life in horror, and that fits, you know, us because what we're doing today, because it's full of, you know, me kind of exploring, you know, where my things came from. And, you know, like themes or whatever, and ideas based on my life, and just a lot of psychological stuff in there. I don't know when it's going to come out, so or like tell people, but sometime next year, probably.
Okay, cool. We will look forward to it.
Yeah.
Any movies you're looking forward to? Anything in the news? Maybe. I was looking through the horror news before we joined here today, looking for anything that popped out at me. I did have one thing.
What's that?
The Clive Barker books.
Oh, yeah, yes. You know, man, those look so tempting, but I'm like, as near as I can tell, it was, it's like there's going to be one new story maybe in each book and the rest are reprints or something. I don't know. I don't really know what the proportion is. I was trying to go through and because I know, you know, just over the decades, I know how this works a lot of times. It's like, here's a brand new thing. And it's like, no, it's just kind of a repackaged, you know, and it looks like the package is going to be nice. These really nice hardcovers. So.
Yeah, that's what you get it for is the packaging.
Yep. So, you know, I'm thinking about it. I haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. I've heard that supposedly this is the first sign that he's back and he's got several novels he's going to bring out. And I'm sure hoping that's true.
That's what I was about to say is I've seen something that said that he was having some health issues. I know he was having some health issues because I saw him at a convention a couple years ago and he was not doing well. So for him to say that he's actually back to full health, I'm very happy about that if that is true. Because what's that? Yeah.
That's very good news.
Yeah. I really hope that's the case because he was not doing well when I saw him. His voice was almost gone. He was being wheeled around in a wheelchair. I was really worried about him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I don't, you know, who knows? He may still be that way, but found a way to work. I don't know.
Don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I guess I'll just have to see if I can find him in another convention and see how he looks.
Right. Or if he starts doing more social media or something.
Yeah.
I mean, his books will promote themselves just because they're his. He doesn't really have to do anything.
True.
But yeah, if he has new work coming out, that would be wonderful. It would be wonderful to see him influence everybody, you know, a new generation now with new stuff. I remember when his books came out, and it was like a nuclear explosion in the when the Books of Blood hit. It really was.
You know, I think that's one of the things that's superior in literature versus film is like, I hate to say it, but you know, classics like Hellraiser, you look back on them, and there's some effects like the digital lightning. It's a little dated for the time, but a book.
It was bad back then. No, don't.
It was, yeah.
Thought it was terrible back then. Didn't care because it was a good movie, but it was like, well.
But that's not any quality of the story. Like, you know, a book you read, all the special effects and all the things are done up here. So it's timeless. So point being, younger generations, he's got a whole bunch of a catalog of things that they can still read. But I do also agree. I hope he comes out with new work because it'd be great to see him doing her work.
Yeah.
Right. And it would be interesting to see what he writes about now after you know, struggling with illness for so many years and just aging and, you know, being somebody who was like, you know, an absolute legend in the field and not being able to kind of, you know, live to that or feel like that probably for a long time. I don't know. It would be interesting to see how it informs his work.
Yeah. Maybe we'll also see some new interviews too. If there's any, like, if it's just text interviews or audio or like a video, what have you. When I came back from that convention, I had told Chris, I said, he's been on our, you know, wish list for years. But when I saw how rough rough shape he was in during that convention, I was like, you sat with us for the full length interview. It's, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours. I was like, I don't think he'd be able to talk for 2 hours. So
honestly, health aside, I don't think he'd be able to talk for 2 hours because he's that busy. I mean, there are several A-listers, if you will, that we've spoken to. They're like, you know, they're just so busy. They're like, we don't have time.
Right. No. But that is true as well. But I mean, even just his voice, he was. His voice is not in good shape. So I really do hope that he is back to full health. I mean, even aside from doing our podcast, obviously.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I mean, if he was in full health and just like traveling the world and enjoying his life, that would be wonderful too. You know, it's not like he owes the world anything more. He's given the world so much in terms of his art.
Yeah,
exactly.
Speaking of traveling, other than the one here where you took a spill, any good travel?
No, I'm never going anywhere again.
I do not blame you.
Not unless I get, my wife will wrap me in bubble wrap probably. She used to be an EMT, so she's the one that was like telling me how to treat myself when I was. So I just stayed in the hotel room for like a couple days, treat them, and just, you know, iced up my wounds and everything, and
just have to bring her along. That's all.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, what do you guys want to talk about? Anything else? That's all questions I got.
You said you've been working on a bunch of new stuff. Can you discuss any of the recent stories you've worked on?
If not that, then other stuff.
Yeah, actually, right now I'm not working on anything. It's not just because of this. It's just sometimes you hit a fallow period where there's just, you know, you don't have any book contracts or anything, and you're kind of loath to start something because then you're like, oh, what if a contract comes up and then it's another year before I can get back to it? That's a good point. So right now I'm not doing anything. I got a short story I'm supposed to be doing for an anthology. It's a mythos anthology for PS Publishing. But I may have to bail on it till I'm going to see. I still haven't tried to sit down and type for very long. But I'm going to see if I can get to it otherwise, because I got like 9 pages of it. Other than that, what else is coming out? I got some stuff coming on audio. My Writing in the Dark book is going to come out on audio September. And I had a novella from Cemetery Dance called The World Turns Red. And it's about a suicide plague going through a town. Mm-hmm. And it was my experiment to see if I could write a piece of extreme horror that was ultimately uplifting. So now, I think I managed it based on the reviews I've seen. But at any rate, there's going to be an audio version of that coming out too. For some reason, Simon & Schuster is like scooping up audio rights to all kinds of things all over the place. Mm-hmm. So they're just making a huge push, whether they're novels or short story collections or novellas. So I was just happy to be part of that. Mm-hmm. So I got those things coming out. I think there's one other thing I have still to come out sometime. Oh, I've got some, it looks like, because like a year or so ago, Thunderstorm Books brought out a 20th anniversary, very limited edition of Like Death. And I did a sequel to it. And, you know, very few copies were made because that's what Thunderstorm does. Mm-hmm. But it looks like I found somebody who's willing to bring them out. Like, yeah, it's still, you know, a smaller press publisher, but at least it'll be available to people so they could either go ahead and, you know, read them however they want, or maybe hopefully audio too. Mm-hmm. So I was really hoping that I could find that. So that's going on. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I was actually talking with somebody earlier today about this, that audio, it's got certain uses for me. Like, It all depends both on the book and who's doing the reading and things like that, but also what I'm trying to get done, because it's one thing to try to put on an audiobook while I'm chopping vegetables and making dinner, but, you know, it's not something I need to really focus my brain on so I can listen to the audiobook, whereas there are other things where if I'm trying to put it on in the background but I need to focus on this other thing, then that's just not going to work.
Right. Yeah, I don't do that. I just listen to them when I drive.
Yeah.
Driving, or I used to ride the bus to work, and that was a great time to listen to audiobooks all the time. Mm-hmm. Just sitting for half an hour to an hour.
Right. Yep. Captive audience.
Yes.
And it's interesting to deal with a story that you have to just go with the pace of the narrator. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go faster or slower, you can't stop and contemplate, you can't go back. So it's just has a very different kind of feel to it. And if the narrator's good,
It's like terrible. Being told a story as opposed to reading a story.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes, if the narrator's good, like.
Right. And the bad thing about that is a narrator can like invest it with all kinds of emotion that's not on the page necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, their interpretation of a character could be really different than yours.
Yeah.
That could be.
So that's okay. Yeah. I read the rest of the time just in print, but audiobooks for driving.
It's interesting that you say that now, because the first time I ever tried listening to an audiobook, there was a girl I was dating, and we were taking a road trip this long, long time ago, taking a road trip. And so I had purchased an audiobook of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because it's one of the funniest books I've ever read. And she had never read it before. And I was like, oh, you'll love it. So I, you know, bought this thing. And then we tried listening to it, and it just didn't work. And I think part of that was because, like you're saying, with a book, you can pause and reflect. And in the case of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, laugh. Whereas if you're too busy laughing to be paying attention to what's happened since then, there was that. Mm-hmm. But also, I think at the time, the person I was with, she just wasn't into it, so it just didn't work.
Is she not a fan of British humor? Because there's a lot of that in Hitchhiker's Guide.
I I think her brain was just somewhere else. Like, she just wasn't even paying attention to it. Like, I think she was thinking that I bought it for me, and I'm like, no, this I did this for you.
Well, that's another thing about British humor. You have to pay attention. They go fast.
Sometimes.
Yeah, when you read it, you want to stop and reread lines and things. Mm-hmm. And it's no way you can do that when you're listening.
Yeah.
It's really a risk, though, too, if you want to try to share stuff with people. It's hard for me to do that with my wife. Because I'll be like, okay, this is a really cool movie. This is something that means a lot to me. I really want to share it with you. And, like, you know, she has ADD, so her attention span, if it does not grab her right away, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I know that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a benefit, I think, of audiobook over reading a book physically is with ADHD, you may find yourself sometimes reading the same sentence 9 times in a row.
But the point is that with a book, you can read it 9 times in a row, whereas with the audiobook, it's gone. Like, unless you keep rewinding it, but most people won't.
So it may force you to pay attention in a way you might not otherwise.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Yeah. She does listen to audiobooks every once in a while. Mm. So I'll have to ask her if there's any difference. And she reads print plenty of times too. So I just have to ask her.
I think we should all just get ports in the back of our skull and just upload the book. Mm-hmm. It's like Neo.
There you go.
Right.
I know Kung Fu.
Right.
Well, I can spell Kung Fu. I can discuss Kung Fu now. Yeah.
I know how to spell it.
So it's like everybody in the book group sits around, they just upload the book and then they can talk about it. That's it.
Oh, God. Right? Like, imagine that scene going that way. I know Kung Fu. Show me. Well, I can't show you. I can tell you about it.
Right.
That's funny. It's like, you know, but I can, in a world like that where everybody's virtual, I can believe they suddenly have, like, reflexes and things like that. But I remember when I saw I forgot what they called it. It was called The Edge of Tomorrow. And it was about Tom Cruise going through a time loop with aliens.
Hmm.
You know, and he started out as just a non-combatant dude. And by the end, he's like super warrior. And, you know, I'm watching this thing going, you have no muscle memory. Your muscles have not grown at all. You have no...
That's
you
a
know,
good your reflexes point I never faster. Thought of. The brain remembers all the skills, but you're absolutely right. The muscles... Yeah. His physical body is reset every day. So he hasn't grown any muscle mass. He doesn't have any muscle memory. Right. He hasn't gotten more flexible at all. It's the same.
Nope.
Huh.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, and even the little, you know, your synapses that grow closer, the more you practice, so stuff becomes automatic and you become skilled at it. That wouldn't happen to him.
Nope.
Not at all.
On physical level.
Hmm. And it's, you know, and it's a lot of time. I think it's because the writers, a lot of times, they just don't think through their premise really well.
Well, that's a lot of times what happens with writing. You have concept, wouldn't it be cool if X, and really then fill in the blank how this happens.
Right. So I just tell writers you need to, like, think backwards. You have to sweep back and forth mentally through your story to make sure that stuff like that would at least make sense on some level.
You also have to, I mean, if the person writing that doesn't know about those things, no amount of thinking about it is going to ever raise that idea in their brain, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but everybody's built skills over their life. It's not like, you know, that if you learn to play basketball like in 5 minutes or whatever, just from 5 minutes of playing it, and then, you know, the next day, same thing with Bill Murray and like playing the piano on Groundhog Day. It's like you wouldn't have
muscle memory.
Of course, that thing, who knows? It could be magic too, so some level. So maybe he could. I don't know. Yeah. But it's not Edge of Tomorrow. Well, I guess you could argue the aliens had that built in because that was their technique for how they won a war. So maybe if they had that part built into their time technology, it could work that way. I hadn't thought of that.
Maybe in that movie. I was thinking with Groundhog Day, for example, for a moment I was going to say, or he really is aging and it's just the world around him that's resetting, but there have been theories that Groundhog Day is like, he would have had to have been stuck in there for like 10,000 years or something like that, in which case, you know, that wouldn't work. But I haven't seen the Tom Cruise movie, and maybe in that one it would work there.
I don't think it's really ever brought up or discussed in the Tom Cruise movie. However, there is an Infinite Loop movie that does kind of bring that into play, Happy Death Day.
I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, but the character who's looping the same day over and over again, Tree, her name is Tree,
yes,
like the thing, she eventually starts getting some physical injuries from being killed over and over again. So there's that. Yeah, no infinite time loop story has ever really brought that up. Like, you wouldn't be able to do this. That's not physically possible.
Mm. I think the idea of, like, having somebody age when nobody else around you does, that would be really interesting.
Yeah, it would.
And especially if the other characters don't seem to notice it, or it's always natural to them. Maybe, like, suddenly you're, and by the end, you're 90 years old, but to them, you've always been.
Right.
You've always been, you were born 90 years old.
Right. It's almost, it's almost like an inverse, shit, what the hell
is it? Benjamin Button.
Thank you. Wait, no, is it Benjamin Button? What's the...
Yeah, Benjamin Button, yeah.
The one where he ages in reverse and becomes an like an infant.
But I thought that was the name of the movie that's a retelling of a different story.
Maybe. It was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, I think was the full title.
Continue chatting and I will go to the Googles.
Well, the story might have been a different title, but I think it was the same basic kind of story. I never read the story, so I don't know. There's this really good, I'm trying to remember the name of it, it's really good time loop horror movie that I've saw.
Was it Triangle?
Brightwood. No, it's Brightwood. No, Triangle's my absolute favorite. Triangle's incredible.
Dorian it's got Gray. So much
psychology in it as well.
Oh, Dorian Gray. Okay.
Dorian Gray, that's what I was thinking of.
It's not really a time loop story, though. I mean, that's...
Well, he's got the perpetual youth and at least
it's an immortality story, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But Brightwood is really good. Brightwood is like a husband and wife, and it looks like their marriage is falling apart. She's going to go for like a run.
They go for a walk in the woods. Yes.
Yep. And he's like he's trying to go and hopefully salvage something, and then it's just. It's so hard. You know, I watch this thing and I'm like, oh, it's got some humor. Oh my God, it's got some, you know, deep character stuff. Oh my God, it's also got extreme horror. And it's just such a wild kind of thing that pulls together. And it's really something. I recommend anybody see that one. I love that one.
It's called I found myself more and more improved like every 15 minutes because it's a very low budget looking film. It's what, like three characters at most and very minimal location. They're just running through the woods. They must have shot the thing for $500K at most. And, you know, you go into it thinking, all right, this is going to be like an indie production. But like you said, as it goes on, there's good humor. There's good character building. There's some time travel odd things going on. It's a very intelligent movie. And, yeah, like I said, I was impressed more and more as I went throughout the movie. It was way better than I expected.
And they were careful, I think, too, to when they would come across the filmmakers, you know, when they come across something we've seen before, they'd shoot it from a different angle or a different way. So, you know, it didn't look repetitious. Like a lot of time loop things, they try to show you the same, almost like it's a painted background in the theater where it looks the same every time a character walks past it. But they didn't do that, so, yeah.
Yeah, which kind of tricks you. Like, you don't notice that it's doing the same thing over and over again so much because it is shot from a different angle, so it's not exactly the same shot.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is this the one where she, like, ties him to a tree or binds him to a tree somehow?
Maybe.
I think so. It's been a while since I've seen
it. I mean, the main premise is a husband and wife taking a jog through the woods, and their marriage is on the rocks, so they fight a lot. That's, like, 75% of the movie, so that description should remind you of it right there.
Right. And the other 25% is just different versions of it.
Well,
yeah.
Different horror versions of that, really. It's really good.
I haven't seen the movie, but I may have read about it doing the research for our horror trivia night.
I forget where I came across it. I think it was on Shudder.
That's all on Tubi.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, there was something about a wrench under a building, like a wrench under a shed or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing it up with something else.
Maybe. There's no shed. They don't ever... They're always in the woods the entire time and are just woods. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
The one I'm thinking about, shed wasn't the right word, cabin maybe. So I'm probably thinking of a different movie.
Maybe. Speaking of spooky things in cabins, that's a piece of horror news that I've seen on the internet coming up.
What's that?
Yellow Jackets is coming back for its fourth and final season in November.
Oh.
Stoked.
one of the things I think streaming has done well is being able to do horror series in a way that mainstream TV just didn't. They would bail always. I mean, they were like Netflix before Netflix. You know, they would bail mm-hmm. after a season or half a season, and you wouldn't even yeah. see the last of the, you know, last episodes until eventually mm-hmm. things started coming out on DVD. Mm-hmm. But now they're soft and like, well, you know, a couple years go by, whatever, we'll get to it. You know, and eventually it all comes out. So I'm looking forward to the last season of From coming out because I've been following that.
Yeah, that's it.
I love that show.
So I Googled.
That is going to be the final season, isn't it? Yeah.
And I want to know what the title means. What's From?
Right? That's the biggest mystery. My personal take, I think it's all because all the people that end up in the town are from somewhere else. It's a metaphor. Okay.
Unless eventually they're from the town.
Ooh. Maybe that's it. They're all from there, and they're coming back.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out.
Let's just hope it's not Burger Joint.
Oh, yeah, because there is a reincarnation thing going on within it. So who knows, maybe.
Plus, it's the same team as Lost, so that's what everyone said since, mm-hmm. like, season two of the show. Like, it's not going to be Purgatory again, is it?
No. Please don't be Purgatory. You can't trust them. They'll just say the same thing they said last time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's a great show, though. I love it.
Yeah, I really do.
I looked it up while we were chatting. The one I was thinking about was Antichrist by Lars von Trier.
Ah.
I've never seen that one.
There's a bridge under a shed in that?
Yeah. Well, not a shed. I think it's under floorboards of a cabin.
I might have to re-watch that sometime. I don't know if I want to.
As soon as I started it's laughing when effective. I saw what it was. I was like, Lars von Trier, no wonder I... No. I'll pass.
His movies are typically one and done.
Yeah. One of the people in a chat, Sarah, was talking about Welcome to Night Vale being a great podcast for road trips. That was reminding me of what the heck was the one with Art Bell? Coast to Coast?
Yep.
Yes. That was on NPR? Was it? Or early NPR? Or
I think so.
No.
Or AM radio.
No, it was some AM station. Yeah, it was Art Bell, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Similar to Night Vale. Night Vale's like a sci-fi twist.
Night Vale is like a self... I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say it's a self-contained story, but it's about a town, Night Vale. So, yeah. I mean, Art Bell's Coast to Coast, he would take callers from all over there, and so the stories would always be different. But, I mean, there were some common themes.
Mm-hmm. I thought Night Vale also took callers. Wasn't it, like, people calling from the town, supposedly?
That's what I was about to say. They're fake calls. They're not, yeah. like... Although, who knows when they're not the ones for Coast to Coast were. I mean, how can I say this? Being fake versus being scripted are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been real callers. Maybe it was scripted. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Maybe.
There are enough weird people out there that it did not have to be. Let's put it that way.
You are correct, sir. Floridian. Confirming. Not that I'm... Okay, I am one of those. There's weirder weirdos, and most of them are also in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I've been in Ohio most of my life, so...
Okay.
I tell people there's a reason why I write the kind of stuff I write. Mm.
Local politics.
Well, try not to write about that stuff.
Yeah.
Different kind of horror.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of it, but does Ohio have a Florida-like reputation? Is there Ohio Man?
Well, I don't know if there's Ohio Man, but the people in Ohio... You know, it's like there's just a lot of weird shit that goes on in Ohio. It probably everywhere, but at least in Ohio, it feels like in a little corner I'm in Southwest Ohio, it's just all kinds of weird stuff happens. And I grew up in the same general area where I'm living now in the Dayton area, and I remember when I'm going to be starting my 27th year teaching at my college tomorrow. But I remember when I was doing my job interview. And it had been a while since I've been back in town. And after the interview, I just drove around a little bit. And as I was driving around, I saw like a woman in full goth attire. And she was walking her pet rat down the leash. down the street, and I'm like, I'm home.
Well, that sounds. You know, that's something I would think you would see in like
Tampa,
New York,
or Tampa.
Yeah, that's definitely a Tampa thing.
We gotta go. Probably not little Dayton. Maybe. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Now, if she had a. No, I've heard that's Yellow Springs.
Yellow Springs is awesome. So my wife works. Oh. She works at the Glen Helen Raptor Center. She does raptor rehab. So, you know, like sick and injured, like owls and eagles and hawks.
That's an awesome job.
Yeah, she loves it.
Cool.
She will occasionally come home, though, and she's like, oh, yeah, this eagle put its claw through my tear duct today. So her doctor has her, like, on standing antibiotics all the time just because of these things. Or through her cheek. Yeah, she gets that kind of stuff. She doesn't really
care that much about it.
Yeah, I used to, in high school, I went to school with a kid who worked at a big cat rescue. That was the name of it, actually, just Big Cat Rescue. And yeah, he'd come to class all the time with, like, you know, big cuts all over his arms. Like, yeah, they got a little rough yesterday.
Yeah,
see, he's probably, like, a shape changer. He's going out, like, you know, fighting other, like, shape changers or attacking people. And he's like, that's his excuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a superhero. That's the kind of thing they, like, you know, Spider-Man would be like, oh, yeah, I'm working on a big cat rescue. That's why I look like this
today. I was at the emu farm yesterday, and man, they got those talons.
That's right. That's funny.
Get the shit kicked out of you.
Emus are serious.
Hmm. Well, I'm guessing the wrists will be healed up by StokerCon next year.
Oh, yeah, they should be. I hope so. But yeah, they, like I said, I'm allowed to take the braces off, especially on the left arm, because that one's not so bad, on Friday. And the other one, the doctor's like, yeah, you can take it off, but if you need to do something, put it on the right one. So I figure that's pretty good. I'm just going to, you know, try not to do anything too strenuous.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think about that earlier. That does suck, because being a writer, that's where you rest your hands when you're typing.
Yeah. And I thought it would work just fine until I tried. And Bethesda, like on the right one especially, it's like there's something about the way that it does something here that it's actually causing more injury. Mm-hmm. A different kind, because like muscles can't flex right or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I took it off today to go ahead and type a little bit. That helped a lot. So finally, I'm going to type this week. I'm going to go ahead and make sure and take this thing off. Mm.
Good. Glad to hear you're on the mend.
Teach one of the dogs to type.
Teach one of the dogs to type. There you go.
My little one, because she's a puppy, she's only like a couple months old, I don't remember. She did walk across my screen and put a paw on the mouse thing, and I'm like, wait a minute. So it was pretty impressive. She also managed to like lock my computer or something. I don't know. It took me forever to figure out how to get out of it. I'm like, it's impossible for you just to like do one little bash. Right. It's like 50 things that happen to a computer. But
this is like when... My sister's kids used to get a hold of her phone, and somehow they would hand it back to her, and it'd be like, screen's upside down somehow, and it's like all the language has been converted to Mandarin. Like, how did you even do this?
Right. And they're just like, what? What? We didn't do anything.
I push buttons.
Right. Well, where I was going with that was to ask if there's anything else between now and StokerCon that you're planning on attending. Any events?
No, I don't think so right now. Probably a workshop or two. Mm-hmm. Usually like on around Halloween, you know, I get asked to do workshops at libraries. The Writer's Digest does like a virtual thing in mid-October with like three like horror writers. We each do like, you know, through Zoom or whatever, we do an hour. I've done that the last couple of years and they asked me to do that again, but I haven't heard anything more about it. I just haven't set it up yet. So yeah, small stuff like that, but nothing bigger. Usually what I do is that I just kind of wait and if somebody asks me to do something, you know, if I can fit it in, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to go, I'm really bummed that I had to miss going to ShiverCon because I was going to go to that, but I couldn't like lift books and I wasn't sure I knew I could drive that far because I drove home because it was in Indiana and I drove home from Indiana. I knew I'd be from Gen Con. But I couldn't lift books. I couldn't actually sign my name. That was the only other thing.
That's kind of an important part of going to the thing.
Yeah. when I went to the hand surgeon, they hand me a whole bunch of paperwork to fill out. And I'm just like, you know,
really?
Yes, they did.
And I can I at least get a stamp?
Yeah. They just told me to do the best I could. And eventually, once the doctor put this thing on me, I went back over, could at least make it somewhat legible. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh my God. But yeah. Things like this are good, you know, kind of, you know, gives me some idea of what it's like to, even such a small way, limited way, to know what it might be like to be disabled.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're lucky enough to live to old age, you know, stuff's going to happen. So, I don't know. It's just like a harmless little preview in the sense that I'm getting better right now.
It's good.
That gives me a chance to kind of deal with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, it's not like I'm 62 now and I'm going to be retiring probably in a couple of years. And while I do not feel particularly old, you know, I also don't feel particularly young. So I'm kind of like just dealing with that part of life, just kind of sort of trying to adjust to it a little bit, or just kind of, I don't know, imagine it.
Yeah. Can relate. Mm-hmm. I'm in my early 50s and I've already got, I guess, early onset arthritis in my back and my neck, and it's not pleasant.
Mid-40s. Yeah. I threw my back out picking up a sock the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My wife has a lot of things. It goes on, food allergies, other stuff. I mean, she's like, so I'll be like, oh yeah, I don't have any pain, but I have to wear this for like a month. And she's like, really? How nice for you. No, she's perfectly thrilled for me, but it's like, you know, it does help me a little bit understand what it's like, because she does have hand issues. She actually had hand surgery like the week after, you know, days after I hurt myself. And so she's got a cast on one hand. I'm like this.
You guys, you're a magic pair. Sharing hand injury stories like leg injuries and jaws.
Mm. That's right.
Shall we drink to our heads?
I was thinking about Gray and Billy Martin. They've been going through some health issues too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's such a privilege to be able to like have any kind of insight into people's lives through social media, or especially like for me to stay in connection with like people I met a long time ago or students I had a long time ago. Mm. But yeah, then you find out about things like that too, and it just breaks your heart, and you don't know what to do other than maybe sometimes help them with a GoFundMe or whatever. But
right. Mm-hmm. Actually, now that you mention it, I haven't seen him. He's been posting on Facebook, but I haven't seen any updates in terms of the physical therapy. I know that he did some physical therapy for a day or two after the surgery. And then for anybody who's listening who hasn't heard, Billy Martin had a hip replacement. Did physical therapy for a day or two at the hospital, and then he was allowed to go home. So he's home and probably has been doing physical therapy. As I say, I haven't seen a post about that. But, I mean, it's good at least that he was able to get it done. I know that he's been struggling with that for a long time.
Right. Yeah, my former boss, she's a lot younger than I am, so she might have been in her late 40s, but she needed both hips replaced. And so her first one, she had it replaced, and after the surgery, they had her stand up, you know, get out of bed, and it broke. The equipment failed. And they like, she screamed, and they immediately put her under like as fast as they could. And I'm like, and you still went ahead and had the other one done? And that one worked fine. But I mean, what a nightmare. It never even occurred to me, because don't they make that shit out of titanium or what?
Right. You would think so.
Yeah. So it's just like it had some kind of flaw, I guess. But
either that or it was her bone that gave, because they've got to attach it to something.
Really, yeah. I guess that's true. I hadn't thought of that. But she's been fine for years now, so it's not that big a deal. But it does not sound like it was fun to go through.
I would bet.
Doesn't sound like a fun process.
No. I mean, I've read stories about some people getting it done and then, you know, getting up and walking around the very next day, or even maybe later that day. But to have, for example, in this case, if her bone gave out and then, you know, well, no.
Away so she didn't have to suffer. You know, they just right back to the operating room. So
yeah, I mean, if given that they had her do this pretty much right after surgery, I'm guessing she was still on some drugs. So it wasn't as Yeah.
Man, if she screamed when that happened, then imagine how would have helped if she had been like fully, you know,
right?
Could sense everything, feel everything fully. What a nightmare. That was my, like, I've had both of my eyes, cataracts done in my eyes. So it's really weird because I can wake up in the morning and see things because I've been super nearsighted all my life. And it's really cool. But I found out during the second one, right before it, I was talking to the anesthesiologist and she's like, I said something about like them putting me out. She goes, we don't put you out. She says, you're awake the entire time through the procedure. You just don't, you know, they give you something to relax you so it's okay. And I said, what are you talking about? I go, the last time I did this, I was completely out. She says, no, you weren't. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And the same damn thing happened to me this time. So I looked it up and it's like, oh yeah, some people who have this, I forget what it is. You know, they have this anesthesia that it's like a Rohypnol or something, you know, it just completely, you know, nothing. You don't have anything, even though you're supposedly aware. And I was like, oh my God, this is like alien abduction or something. It's so creepy.
Oh, it's so just never maybe you were awake, but you had memory loss?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really weird. I have one little tiny memory of the procedure.
Did I have a bad time?
Yeah, no, I guess I was, the doctor asked me to open my eye wider or something, or turn my head, I think, at one point. That's all I remember. Some vague, vague memory of it. So it's like, who knows what they did to me? Who knows what they put in me?
Right.
Just like the dentist, when they put you under the gas, and then you wake up with your pants off.
Yeah, no, I don't have to do that. My wife does because she feels everything too much, and she also has a condition where she processes anesthesia super fast of any kind. So she had to find a doctor that believed her, so would keep constantly giving her more.
Oh, processes it quickly. Is it like it wears off quickly? That's even worse.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh boy, can you imagine waking up and be like, you guys are open and you're inside me right now. That's not cool.
I'm the same way, and so. I had a horrible childhood because of it. I hate dentists, and
That's why it took her a while to go back to one.
There was one time in my late 20s where I had to get a root canal, again, because I hate dentists, and I had been putting it off for so long. They gave me 14 shots, and I could still feel it. And eventually ended up having a dissociative experience, and they finally stopped, and they were like, all right, I think we've done all we can do today. We'll have to reschedule you to finish the rest.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you had to go through all that and it still wasn't all done.
No.
Yeah.
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 No, that was not fun. So yeah, she had great place to end the call.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, have a great day.
I'm looking forward to my upcoming dentist appointment now.
Yay. Oh, my dentist appointment's still great. I just have to have them use the juvenile or pediatric numbing stuff, because otherwise my face is like numb forever. So and they don't believe me that's enough, and I'm like, even if it hurt some, I wouldn't really care. I'd hate the numbness worse than anything.
It got to a point where after I had gotten into a career and set aside a little bit of money, had a nest egg, I had more of the work done than I needed to do. But to do that, I found a place that would put me completely under. It was after I had my wisdom teeth done, and they put me under for that. And when I had that experience, then I was like, all right, well, for all this other work that needs to be done, I might as well do that. And even if I have to pay out of pocket, it'll be worth it. So that's what I did. And then after that, I had another place that said, have you ever tried the laughing? Actually, it was the same place. Now that I think about it, I went back to them for cleaning and they were like, have you ever tried the laughing gas or nitrous? And I had not. And so they said, why don't you give it a try? I mean, if we try it and it doesn't work for you, then we can put you under completely, but at least let's give it a shot. And I did, and it did end up working for me. I think, if I remember correctly, that was what they offered first, and I was like, no, absolutely not, put me under.
cool. Yeah, I think, I don't know if that's exactly what they give my wife, but it's the gas that works for her, so.
Yeah.
As long as she gets enough of it, they have to reapply or whatever.
Yeah. Same here.
Keep an eye on it.
Cool. Well, before we wrap up here, we've got only maybe 3-4 minutes or something like that. Anything you want to let people know that you are currently working on that you can talk about, or
you can let them know, yeah.
Suggest?
It'll be it hasn't been announced yet, but the other book I have coming out sometime, because they're just starting to work on it, you know, edit it and put it together and everything. From Wicked House, I'm going to have a novel called The Theater of Crows coming out. So it'll be a new horror novel from them. I'm looking forward. It was a lot of fun to write. I think it's good. We'll see what they think. I haven't had any edits yet, so we'll see what they think.
Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know. Sometime probably in spring, maybe that one might be out. And then, you know, sometime in October,
something's going to be
that awesome novelization, which nobody has guessed. People try to guess, but nobody has yet.
Is it Cocoon? It's Cocoon, isn't it?
Nope.
Damn.
We will keep an eye on social media, and we'll just have to wait.
Yeah, who knows? Could be tomorrow. They don't tell me anything. Mm. No, nobody ever tells the writer anything. I find out stuff through Google searches and like foot searching my name on Amazon. That's how I find things out.
I was going to say like, they'll tell you day of, but no, not even that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be doing this every Sunday at 7:30. Actually, that's a good thing to mention. So we're not doing it for the next 2 weeks. Chris is traveling out of town. So we're skipping the next 2 weeks, and then we'll pick up after that. But other than that, and I think we're taking a week off for Christmas or New Year's or something like that. Other than that, we'll be doing this every Sunday at 7:30. So in the future, if there's something you want to come on to promote later, want to come back and chat, just let us know and we can bring you back.
Sounds good. I would love to.
Love to have you again.
Our pleasure. Thanks again for joining us. And I guess we'll sign off and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Okay. I'll try. You guys too. Bye now.
Bye. Good night, sir.